You are now listening to The Social Scene with your host, Jay-Z. Get seen today and contact us at www.jzsocialenterprises.com. Today, the show is brought to you by ConnectPay.com. Welcome back to The Social Scene with Jay-Z at Jay-Z Social Enterprise. Today, we're really excited to have such an awesome guest back on The Social Scene, Jim DeBetta, who is the founder of DeBetta Enterprises. How are you, Jim, today?
Good, and good to be back.
I know. It's always a pleasure to have you. And today, we're going to learn all about licensing our products, which is so cool. I mean, so many people always wonder how to even go forward about that. So today, we're going to learn all the risks and rewards when licensing your product. So can we first discuss, you know, how should a business owner determine when it is important to license their product?
Yeah, great question, and obviously a very common one. Most people approach me, and they really don't know a lot about licensing, and they don't understand the risks and rewards. And I think the first thing they have to do is first determine, are they really capable, or do they want to run their own business? Because if you don't have the financial wherewithal, or you just don't have the business acumen, or maybe you have a full-time job and this is something you're doing on the side, then licensing can be for you, because in essence, licensing puts you in a situation where somebody else is doing just about all of the work and you hopefully reap the rewards. But if you feel like you can make it and do the product on your own and you have the time and the wherewithal, then licensing may not be the right situation for you. So it really just depends on your life situation.
So why would somebody license their product? So the difference between manufacturing and selling to retailers yourself, what is the key reason why people would license?
I think a lot of people want to license or believe they want to license because they feel like they just can't get the product to market on their own. So people will come to me and say, hey, Jim, look, I've got this product. It's built or it's nearly built, excuse me, or I have something, an idea that I think can be something that somebody else can sell. But they often just don't feel like they have the skill set or they have the contacts, and they figure that, hey, if they kind of just allow somebody else to manage the product or manufacture it and sell and market it, that's better than what they can do, then they feel like licensing is an opportunity and also cost. If you go to market on your own, Jackie, as you know, it can be pricey. You have to make CAD drawings or mechanical drawings. You have to get prototypes made. You've got to find a factory and, of course, produce the product. You got to package it. There's a lot of steps that are involved in making a product on your own. And each one of those steps, like any business, has a cost to it. So if you really don't have the dollars, a lot of people will say, look, I'm broke or I just don't want to spend the money. And so I'd rather just have Black & Decker make this tool idea for me. And they've got the money. They've got the contacts. They could, they're in all these stores already. They could put the product out there much better than I can. So they feel like licensing is an opportunity. And kind of going back to what I said before, let's say this is something you're doing on the side. You already have a career, or maybe you just don't have the time personally to do it. Then licensing allows you to keep your time, and you're putting the onus on somebody else. And that's a, you know, popular reasons why.
No, it makes a lot of sense. It makes the whole procedure a lot easier too if you have the finances to pay somebody else to just do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so funny. It's true though. So, you know, I probably should have asked this in the beginning, but what does it mean to license in general? I think people sometimes don't understand what licensing actually is. So can we talk about that really briefly?
Yeah, they actually really don't know often. They just say, hey, Jim, I want to license my product. And I say, well, why do you want to license it? And they will say, well, I really don't know. And could you tell me why I should license it? And it is. It's kind of a funny thing. But people will typically want to license or when they understand what licensing is. But typically, you have to have a patent or a patent pending. So you come up with a great idea, Jackie, and you say, Jim, look, I got this idea, and I looked online, or I've done a quick patent search, or I went to a site like LegalZoom, or I went to a patent attorney and found that nobody else has anything like what I have out here. You know, what do I do? What is licensing? Well, licensing, in short, is you're leasing, if you will, or renting your intellectual property, which is the patent in this case, to a company or to somebody else. And they take over the process. So again, if we go back to Black & Decker, if you've come up with a great idea for a new tool, you have a patent or a patent pending, you approach Black & Decker and say, hey, Black & Decker, I've got this patent for this product. I want to do a licensing deal with you because you could market and sell and manufacture it better than I can. And in exchange for that, you're going to offer me a royalty. And it's usually a few percent to 5% of the net sales they achieve when they make your product based on the patent. So you're really leasing your intellectual property to somebody else for them to work it, if you will, and then hopefully you make money when they sell the product out there in the marketplace.
That's so interesting. You know, I never knew what it was. I'm really glad I asked that question, because you watch Shark Tank all the time and they're like, well, you know, I could do all your licensing. And right. I don't really think I ever really understood what that was. So that was great. Thank you.
Sure.
So what does licensing entail? So can you break it down for us a little bit? So what is the process to license?
Okay. So let's assume, again, you have a product idea, and if you haven't already filed for patent protection, your real big leveraging point when doing a licensing deal is owning the patent, right? Because if you go back to Black & Decker and you just say, hey, Black & Decker, I have this great idea, but you don't have a patent on it, what's to stop Black & Decker from saying, hey, that's great, yeah, we'll get back to you, and then 6 months later the product's on the shelves and you get nothing, right?
And they created your idea, right?
Right, and that doesn't happen often. Usually corporations are good stewards of business, and they're not going to try to rip people off. But it has happened, and it can happen, and you leave yourself vulnerable to that happening. Now, I'm not a patent attorney, as you know, and I don't give specific advice on that. But based on experience, I can tell you that your leverage point is your patent. So, okay, so you go in, and you now go back to Black & Decker, and you have a patent, and it's a strong patent. Then what's going to happen is, you know, after you have this initial meeting, and assuming you get the meeting, they're going to lay out an offer sheet or a term sheet, and which would be the terms and conditions for a licensing deal. Now, before you even get to Black & Decker, you've got to obviously have had to make contact with them. So I always tell people the first thing you really need is a great sell sheet. And typically that's a one-page sheet that shows a picture or condition of the product, a little description like the elevator pitch. My product is a blah, 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 blah. And then you have some bullet points with benefits and features. And hopefully they say why this product is bigger, faster, stronger, lighter, easier to use than what's out there on the marketplace. And what I do is I take that sell sheet and I email that to prospective licensees. So I'd email that to Black & Decker and other tool companies, if it's a tool, to get them interested. If they're interested, then either they're going to want to meet with you or they're going to want to talk to you on the phone. And then obviously, again, if there is interest – and of course, if they're willing to sign some non-disclosures and so they keep this deal between you and them, they would offer this term sheet or an offer sheet up to you, and it will have all the terms and conditions of a licensing deal should you to engage in one. So the process seems easy. It's not easy to get in front of a big corporation like that.
Right.
And it could take a lot of no's before you get that one yes. In other words, you could be reaching out to dozens of companies and getting no reaction or just no, no, no. Before you get that yes, and then of course you've got to then sell it and get that deal done.
Right. So what would you say is an advantage for licensing your product?
Well, you know, one of the big advantages is, of course, you don't really have to do much work. If you own the patent rights to something and you offer that opportunity up to a much bigger company than yourself, then you can go back to doing what you normally do and enjoy that mailbox money, as it's called, where you get a royalty check every quarter or semi-annually or whatever the agreed upon terms are. And that's a nice thing. And there are people that do that for a living. They come up with product ideas, they patent them or have them patent pending, and they approach companies and strike these deals. So if you already have a job or maybe you're retired and you don't want to unretire or whatever your situation is in life, sometimes licensing doesn't mean you have to make millions from it. Some people just like to license and make some side money,
right,
from ideas. So obviously that's a huge advantage. Now, if you go on your own and you build the product, you make it and you market it and sell it yourself, obviously that's a full-time gig ultimately. But the benefits to that are that you can make a lot more money on your own. And I think that's the big distinction with licensing. A lot of people come to me and say, Jim, you know, I want to license my product. And I'm like, do you? Because I just want you to understand that while there's a greater risk in going it on your own and building and selling it on your own, and obviously there's a cost to doing that, you can make a lot more money long run, potentially, if you did that in many cases versus licensing, where you're only going to get a few percent of the net proceeds the company makes from the product. And while you're not doing any work and putting your risks out there financially, they have to sell millions of dollars for you to make tens of thousands of dollars. So right. That's the risk reward scenario always comes down to that, where, you know, how much money do you want to make and how much of your own money do you want to risk?
Right. No, it makes complete sense. So what would you say are the success rates for those attempting to get a licensing deal?
Yeah, they're not great. And I think they could be much better if people were more prepared for how to approach potential licensees. But now, again, this can vary, Jackie, depending on, the size of the company you're approaching, and it could also depend on just how desirable your product is and how it's presented. But it's anywhere from a few percent to 10, 15, 20% at best. I mean, it's hard to gauge, but it's a tough road. A vast majority of people will not get a licensing deal. And again, there's other outside factors, as we mentioned, just how really unique is the product? Is it something that big companies can see themselves producing and making a lot of money on? You know, lots of things can occur that way. And sometimes it's just greediness. Sometimes people go into these deals and I want 20% royalties. And you know what? You're not going to get that.
Right. That's usually not realistic. Right.
No. And so the success rates are, I really think, are in the single digits. But it's hard to verify because a lot of these deals are privately done, and I don't think there's any one specific statistic out there that says, hey, you know, people get 20% of the time they get licensing deals. I think in software and medical device world, it might be a little higher than the consumer product world, but it's a long shot. But if you approach it right, your sales sheets are correct, your patent portfolio's in line, you have good contacts at companies to reach out to, obviously your odds will increase. But if you just kind of wing it and don't know what you're doing, like anything in life, your odds of success are going to go down.
Right. Makes complete sense. You can't throw all your eggs in one basket, right?
No, not at all.
So what are some key things that you recommend for people to do to prepare for licensing?
All right. Well, a lot of them we've already kind of gone through, but they're all worth repeating over and over again. Right. But one thing, you've got to make sure that you do a thorough patent search. Make sure that the idea you have for a product isn't already taken. I think one of the mistakes people make is that they go online and they go to retail stores and they type in what their product idea is, and they'll come to me and say, "Hey, Jim, listen, I looked all over. I looked at Target and Walmart and this place and that place, and I don't see my product there. So, hey, this could be something that could be my idea." Well, just because it's not being sold doesn't mean somebody doesn't own patent rights to it, because a lot of people file for patents. They're granted, and then they don't have the means or the ability to make something happen with the patent. So somebody can own a patent on your idea, and you may not know it. So doing a thorough patent search is what they have to do first.
How can they do that? How can they search through patent search?
Yeah, I mean, you can use a patent agent, which is typically a little bit less expensive than a full-blown patent attorney. That's very common. Again, sites like LegalZoom, I'm certainly not plugging them, but they are a very well-known and seemingly very trustworthy place to go, and they're very cost-effective, and they'll do thorough patent searches. You can go on your own. People go to the USPTO website, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office website, and people will go on Google Patents and search. But if you don't know exactly how to search and you don't use the right terminology, you may miss finding if your product idea is patented or not. So right. You could do a quick search on your own, but I think it's a good idea to ultimately, if you're really putting a lot into this stakes-wise, I think you should either have a patent attorney or agent do it, or go to a paid site like a LegalZoom and do it. And then if you find that you're free and clear, as they say, then you would file for patents. And again, I definitely would be using an attorney for something like that. I think a lot of people try to and will advocate that you do it on your own, but I don't know. I've seen way too many times where people have gone and tried to file on their own, and it's a complicated thing. There's a reason why there are patent attorneys. It's not because it's an easy thing. There's a lot of, the language, the claims you make on a product patent application have to be exacting. So doing that is important. And then, of course, assuming that you get an opinion from a patent attorney that your product is likely to be patented, or it does get granted, and it could take a few years to get a patent granted. You then go out and you create this great sell sheet, like I mentioned, and you line up your contacts, the people you want to get in touch with, and you go at it and you hope for the best.
That's so interesting. So can you tell us a success story with a positive outcome of a licensing product that you've worked with?
I mean, there were a bunch. Actually, I think the best story really is to tell you my own story, because there's nothing like your own. I've helped dozens of people negotiate deals,
right.
Manage that. But I think the best deal and experience is on my own. When I was younger and didn't really have any experience in this business, I went out there and was part of a sport optics company, a company that produced binoculars and handheld magnifiers and telescopes and things like that. And we were getting into some retails, but we knew that if we also struck a licensing deal with a company that was more well-known than ours, we could get more entry into some of these bigger chains that we were having trouble getting into. So we approached a company called Mossy Oak. And Mossy Oak, for those that don't know, is one of the largest camouflage companies in the world. And so basically you go out to a store and you buy a product, and it's got this real camouflage on it. And it has Mossy Oak camo or Realtree. Those are the two of the big brands out there. They were the gold standard at the time of having camouflage on your product. So if we took a binocular to a Sports Authority or a Cabela's or a Dick's, they wanted like this. If you had Mossy Oak camo on your binoculars, it was like, oh wow, it was such a big deal versus having just some Chinese made binoculars with Chinese issued camo on it.
Right.
So we struck a great deal with them, and it took a lot of convincing for them to pick up our product line and allow them to have us use their camouflage on our product. I know it's a little bit of a twist here, but basically we had to sell ourselves and explain why our products were unique and different, and why we wanted to do a deal with them so we could use their camouflage on our products so we can get into these retail chains. And it took months to do that deal, but ultimately our first big sale was with Cabela's, and Cabela's is a huge outdoor retailer out there. It's a $1 billion retailer, and we did a nice business with Cabela's strictly because of landing that licensing deal. And as I mentioned to you, and I've worked with lots of inventors. I typically don't want to say names because a lot of people are sensitive to how their deals got done and how they're doing business, but there are a lot of people that I've worked with, taught, helped. Obviously my Looking to License download course on my website has helped hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the years. I think I've sold that many now that I think about it, to go through the basics of how to do this on your own and how to reach companies and how to prepare yourself to do those deals. So it's possible. People are definitely getting deals. It's just, you've got to really arm yourself with the right information to up your chances.
Right. Absolutely. Can you tell us the first time you ever licensed? Can you tell us about your first client with the success story?
Yeah, I worked with a couple of inventors quite a long time ago, back in the early 2000s. One product was called Dipe & Go, a woman from New Jersey. She had a product that was a baby changing station for moms on the go. So instead of just laying your child down in the back seat of your car, you had this kind of nice diaper station. So it was organized and convenient and clean. And we tried taking this product to retail, but ultimately the product got licensed. And by working together and going that route, this product enjoyed some success versus trying to go it alone without a big brand at retail. But ultimately the product got sold in some chains and some catalogs, some big catalogs. And so, that experience of doing this for somebody else was an experience. It's just learning all the rejection and all the nuances of doing these deals and negotiating everything. So yeah, that was that was an experience. And from there I've done that, over and over for people. So Yeah, it's a crazy business for sure.
Yeah, but it's super rewarding. I mean, regardless, you learn a lot of things, you know. I feel like each time you probably learn something new with all the different types of products there are out there, right?
Yeah, there's never a shortage. You know that. Every day I wake up and, you know, in my inbox, somebody's got an idea for something else. And I'm like, what else can possibly be created anymore? It's just crazy. But that's the business. And, you know, as long as people are coming up with ideas for things, it's great. And so the opportunities exist to license and or to go your own every day. It's just you've got to make that decision on your own as to which is the best way for you to go financially, personally, time-wise. It's up to you.
So true. So, Jim, tell our audience where they can get in touch with you with any further questions they have and, you know, if they're interested in working with you.
No, great. I appreciate that. Well, obviously, my website, which is my name, which is jimdebetta.com, JIMDEBETTA.com. They can go there. They have a contact Jim page, and anybody can reach me there. I'm on social media, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, everywhere. I'm pretty much everywhere, I think, or who knows. But you can find
there's
me.
There's so many of them, right? There's so
yeah,
many.
And then, you Google somebody today. It's almost like you can't not find somebody. But yeah, right. Going to my website is a good place. They could learn more about me. What I've done with clients. There's all kinds of information on my site and things of interest for inventors. And there's a free download for people who want to learn the process of just getting a product ready for market. So yeah, that's the best spot.
Fabulous. Now, just to clarify, so you're based in Atlanta, but you work with clients everywhere, right? Just so the audience has an understanding of that.
Yeah, the world's a small place now. In fact, I would say that most people I work with, I either have never met, believe it or not, or are not from Atlanta. People come to me every day from all over the world, not just the United States. It's Australia. It's Spain, it's Norway, you name it. People will reach out because they can and get information and access and learn digitally. And it's great. It's great for you, right? I mean, look at your business, right? You're running your own empire and you're able to do it without having to drive and commute every day. And I think that's the beauty of what we're all doing as entrepreneurs is we're able to kind of do things on our own terms and help other people.
Absolutely. Well, it was such a pleasure to have you as always, Jim. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll do it again soon. You know, there's endless topics, as you know. In my
always. World, so they're so interesting. Like, you can go on and on about these topics. So cool. I want to thank everyone for tuning into The Social Scene. Definitely check out jimdebetta.com. It's awesome. And he can definitely help you with any of your needs when it comes to licensing and products and more. And stay tuned until next time. Today, the show is brought to you by Get Seen Magazine, launching in April of 2016. Stay tuned on jzsocialenterprises.com for updates. Don't forget, The Social Scene is where you can get seen today by thousands between blogger placements, special events, radio features, magazine features, and more. Contact us today at jzsocialenterprises@gmail.com.